Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think you're all familiar with Rohatsu Sesshin, which is at the end of the year. It takes place in December from the 1st to the 8th. Of course, it wasn't called Rohatsu Sesshin then, but it was at the end of the year. And Buddha was sitting in this 8-day retreat. One morning he walked outside and he saw the morning star, which is Venus. And like that, right? The brightness of this star was seen by him from the depths and the stillness of these 8 intense days of Zazen. And it was in that moment when he looked up there, in an instant, there was no thought, it was just like that, he realized enlightenment. And he was doing, and it wasn't called Zazen then, but he was doing the same meditation that we do every day, if you have that kind of a practice, every Sunday. But it's the same vehicle that the Buddha used. And he is said to have cried out, "That's it! That's it! That's me! That's me shining so brilliantly. From this experience arise all of the Buddha's teachings." And from within this state of mind, he said, "How wondrous, how wondrous. All beings are endowed with this pure nature. What a wondrous, astonishing thing has been realized. All of the 10,000 things, all of the flowers, all of the trees, all of the rocks, all things everywhere are shining brilliantly. And what an amazing thing. It's the same landscape, but how brilliantly it is illuminated. What freshness in everything." Now, there's a story, I don't remember who the Roshi was, but one of this Roshi's students had the same experience like that. And it was like seeing everything for the first time. You know, everything was alive, everything was brilliant. So the teacher took his student for a walk up the side of this mountain. And as the student went along, he said, "Oh, Roshi, Roshi, listen to the stream. Oh, my God, it's incredible." And, you know, maybe a few yards later, he's saying, "Can you hear the birds? Oh, my God, how sweet." And he'd go a little further and he'd say, "Roshi, Roshi, look at the tree." And all the while, the Roshi is not saying anything. He'd go a little further and he'd say, "Oh, Roshi, can you feel the path under your feet?" And eventually, the Roshi student said to him, he said, "Roshi, don't you see this?" And he said, "I do, but no need to say so." So it's from within this deep illumination of the mind of Buddha that all of Buddha's wisdom is born. And this is the wisdom that's the heart of Zen. The Buddha's realization is possible for each one of us. It's nothing special. You don't have to be some character in history named Buddha to have this experience. Each time we take up this posture, we are preparing ourselves to awaken to our true self. And as Dogen said, and you've heard this many times before, to study the self is to forget the self. And to forget the self is to be enlightened by the 10,000 things. Right? Just like that. So we could say that the Buddha forgot the self. And he was enlightened by Venus. You know, those are words. It's that direct experience that's the true teacher. So if we see our practice, if we see Zazen from this perspective, this is a sacred activity. This is not just something that we plop down and do. Every time we sit down, we are partaking in a sacred activity. And so because of this, when we take up this sitting position, we should do it with care and with attention. So this is sort of a review, but I'd like to just take a few minutes to review how to assume this posture. When we tend to see in our daily lives body, mind, and breath as separate, but when we sit down on our cushion or we sit down on our chair, all three, body, mind, and spirit, come together. They're all one thing. So let's begin with the body, but remembering that these three are not, they're inseparable. So when we sit down, it's important that we take up a particular position, a position that encourages both body and mind to be still. And so, you know, there's a variety of ways to put our legs. Each of us does so in a way that, that we can do that's comfortable. But this triangle with the two legs like this and the body that goes up like this is, they say anyway, the firmest and most steady position we can take. If you think about sitting on the floor versus standing up, for example, very different. So, also, what happens in the body, you know, what position we take up, either activates the mind or stills the mind, right? If we're going from side to side, or any little movement like that activates the mind. Now, the other side of that is, if the mind is still, the body is still. So it goes back and forth. They're one thing. So the first thing when we're sitting is we want to take, and this is not like a drill sergeant, but we want to take an erect position. A little bit of an inward curve in the lower part of the back, shoulders back a little bit, the chin slightly down, but slightly, not like this, but slightly down. And the reason why we do this is because we work around the breath. And if we take up this position properly, it allows a space, it allows a condition for the diaphragm to rise and fall as we breathe. Rise and fall. Rise and fall. It's also important, in order to maintain this position, is to wear loose clothing. And if you have a belt, loosen your belt. All of this will allow a deep and easy breathing. Now, the breath is important, our relationship to the breath. The breath is not something that we are directing, right? Which would be sort of an egocentric way, an egocentric relationship to the breath, which is dualistic. My breath, I wanted to do this, right? So we don't do it that way. We just sit and witness the incoming and outgoing breath, back and forth, back and forth. And if we lose track and we get caught in thinking, well, then just go back. Back down in your hara, your belly. The hara is like an inch or two below your navel. And that is the center of our spirituality and the center of our body when we're sitting. So the way that I sort of relate to it is to just allow your body to be breathed. Let's just do that together for a minute. And notice, what is your relationship to your breath? And you probably all have noticed when you first sit down, the breath is probably, you know, somewhat rapid. But as you allow yourself to relax into this seated position, again, whether it's in the chair, or you sit on a bench, or you sit on the floor, if you have a stable position, and you just sit with your breath, whether you're counting or you're just watching the breath, as we sit for a minute or two, you'll notice that the breath starts to settle in, right? And the body even relaxes more. And the mind relaxes. Now the same thing goes for when you're working with a koan. You know, when you're working with a koan, you're not sitting there thinking, what is mu? Let me see if I can figure out what is mu. Right? It's the same thing with the breath. So the breath is connected to anything that we do when we're sitting. Now once we have assume this stable position, you want to make sure that our mouths are closed, and we can gently allow our tongue to rest on the roof of the mouth. This sort of reduces our need to swallow or to salivate. It's not perfect, but it does help. And the next thing is, we don't want to close our eyes, because that only promotes drowsiness. Right? So we leave our eyes about a quarter open. And usually they say a position of about 3 or 4 feet away. So if you're sitting in this center aisle, you would probably be looking at the bottom of the cushion, or the side of the cushion that faces you, for across from you, the person that's sitting across from you. And unless you have obstruction, we breathe through the nose. And then, of course, if you can't do that, we don't want anybody passing out, so you just breathe through your mouth. And as I said, even though this position, like especially if you've ever seen monasteries with the monks in the black robes sitting down, facing the wall, right? Everybody looks exactly the same. And it's almost like soldiers lined up in a formation. But the spirit is different. Even though the position is the same, the body is relaxed, even though it's erect. So the spirit isn't to maintain this rigid, straight position that you have control over. It's just allowing the body. If you set the body up in that particular way, it's the most comfortable position for the body. So the body will naturally sit in that way. And then the nose should be aligned with the navel. Now, one of the things that we have to do when we take our seat is we don't want to be leaning one way or leaning the other. We don't want to be going too far forward, too far back. Again, if we are not sitting straight with our nose in line with our navel, there's tension that gets created in the body to keep our body up. If we're leaning, for example, as I am, to the side, that tension activates the mind. So it's very important to find that still place. You know, and what happens usually is we sort of rock from side to side or front to back and just slowly find that position that's neutral, where the body is just sitting and you're not straining in any subtle way to hold yourself up. Now, the traditional way of sitting in Zazen is called the cosmic mudra. It's when we take our dominant hand, in my case it's right, and we place it either on the top, if you're sitting in a full lotus, on your thighs, or if you're sitting like I am, on your ankle. And so you take your dominant hand and you rest it, and then you take your other, the non-dominant hand, and put it on top. And then we form sort of an oval where we gently tuck our thumbs together. Now, this is a mudra, and I don't remember right now, but in general, there's an energy that's attached to the various mudras. Each has a different purpose. But in some way, by using this mudra, the energy is being invited down here, invited into our lower abdomen. Now, if you've been sitting for 25 years, and you decide that you're going to sit like this, you get a dispensation from your teacher. So anyway, I don't know why, but for some reason over the years, this was more relaxed to me than this. My wrists get tense. So I would say that, especially if you're just beginning, you know, maybe the first 10 years that you're sitting, play the game as you're told. And then, you know, as your practice gets deeper, you may decide that you're not going to do that anymore. Now, another way of sitting, and when you go to a retreat, you can alternate these things, because sometimes sitting in the same way, you may develop tightness or pain in your neck or your shoulders. So many times people will rest their hands on their knees. So mind and breath are one reality, the same thing. If we think about them, they become two. They become mind and breath. But if we're just sitting, it's breath and mind with the words gone, with the labels gone. Now, there are different ways that we get connected with our breath. The first way is by counting the breath. So one of the ways to count the breath, I'll do this out loud so it makes sense. So the breath comes in, breath goes out, breath comes in. So we're counting the in and the out of each breath. And so that's the way we begin, because by the counting, it keeps us connected to the breath. And if you lose count, we all do, you know, you get it lost into thoughts or the great dinner that we're going to get when we get home, let go of the dinner and just come back to the counting. Come back to one. Then the next step is still counting, but counting one whole breath. So the breath comes in, and on the out breath, breath comes in, out breath. And then eventually at some point in practice, your practice, you will just simply sit with breath, right? Just watching it, as I said earlier, come and go. The breath comes in, the breath goes out. But we're not thinking, oh, the breath just came in, and oh, the breath just went out. This is where body and mind come together, right? So no mind and no breath are breathing. So as soon as you notice that you're thinking, this is my in-breath and that's my out-breath, and oh, I feel very still today, what you need to do is say to yourself, shh. You're asking the mind to be quiet. Now, for example, if the teacher says to you, tell me, who are you? Who are you? So that's a koan, right? Who are you? So one of the ways that you can work with this using the breath is you just, breath comes in, breath comes in. But you're not doing it out loud like that. It's a little bit stilted to do that. But so you're breathing with the question, who am I? And see what happens. The cup fell to the ground. The sound was perfectly clear. Emptiness was smashed to pieces. The mad mind abruptly came to a halt. Thanks.